Oswald Chambers said something about God Say So back on June the 5th. It has a lot to do with what we're going to share today. What does it mean to walk with God? And you heard that expression a lot, but it all comes down to the moment. It all comes down to abiding, and has to do with what we've been learning lately about hearing God's voice. How many of you are sensing a change in your life and a hunger to hear God's voice for yourself? And it's going to result in some changes in your life because you're going to be more confident of God's voice. And so this has everything to do with what we're going to talk about today. But in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, this is based upon Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. And he titles this, God's Say-So. And there's a great confidence that an individual can have if you know that God said something that you can count on, because he won't give you a rock for a fish. And so I remember that time when, Mary, you came up with prayer for a situation about speaking to somebody and didn't really know how that was going to happen, but you really heard from the Lord that he was in control. God said so. And so your knees might have been a little shaky, a little bit, but I saw a greater confidence in you that you knew that God was going to take care of that situation. In other words, God say so in this particular situation manifested, and she experienced the manifestation of God's say so. And so as she went, she waited upon the Lord, and the opportunity was there. So when God says so, then you can confidently follow that say so into victory. So my say-so needs to be built upon God's say-so. God says, I will never leave you, never leave thee. Then I can with good courage say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not be haunted by apprehension. Wow. How many of you are sick and tired of being haunted by apprehension? What's apprehension mean to you? If you're tired of being having apprehension, doubt, and what goes along with doubt?
Fear.
And what goes along, what's the other cousin?
Fear.
Fear, doubt, and unbelief. They all hang out together. So apprehension, yuck. You know, we don't need to walk in apprehension or be haunted by apprehension when we know what God has said. He says, God has said, therefore, you know, I will never leave you. So you can count on that, him not leaving you. No matter what you experience physically or spiritually, he's not going to leave you. If you really know that, then you can with great confidence know that he's in control. And if you believe that and trust that, you're going to be okay. I had an experience this past week, this past Tuesday, and let me share it with you because you need to know that you can confidently do something if it's the right thing to do, and the end result is going to work out for your benefit. I was on a mower, and I had crossed this sidewalk hundreds, if not thousands, of times before. And I'm on a piece of equipment that is controlled like this, right, left, G and haul. You know, if you want to do it, you know, that's how they do the horses, G and haul, right, left. But this is right and left, and I'm standing on it behind it, going like this. And it also has a mechanism on it that if you let go, it will stop. It's a safety mechanism. If your hands come off those handles, it will stop. So I was going across this sidewalk, and it has a raised up lip like this going to the front door. And there's enough room for me to pass, as I always do, safely. I was paying attention and I was looking, but all you have to do is be off just a little bit. How many of you know you can be on track, but if you're off a little bit, if you're too far to the right or too to the left, God is concerned about that. He wants to get you lined up. And so I was off a little bit and to the left, and I hit the edge of that sidewalk, and all of a sudden, the machine that I was controlling was out of control. Now, the natural thing to do is to try to get control of this with everything that you think you could you can do to get control of it. And but it was out of control. So the best thing for me to do, based upon what I told you, was if it's out of control, what should you do? Even though my mind knew it had a safety mechanism on it, I was trying to control it. And you could really get hurt by doing that because it's out of control. I bumped something, it's off its direction, and therefore it's out of kilter doing this kind of stuff rapidly. And it threw me down and threw me against the cement. And I let go as I was thrown down, almost had to let go. I mean, I've done it voluntarily before, let go, but I was thrown down. I let go and it did what it's supposed to do. It stopped. The blade's turning and everything. Everything stopped. It just takes a couple seconds if you let go. Well, right over to the right, the direction that it turned was a brand new SUV Cadillac. And it wasn't anybody standing around. You're kind of embarrassed. You look around, see if anybody's looking, that type of thing. Nobody looked, nobody saw or anything, but there I was looking at the Cadillac. Look where the mower stopped, you know, about that far from the Cadillac. It was heading right toward it. And I began to feel, you know, something after I hit that cement. I felt a, not my hip, but in my my lower back right here on this back left side was hit pretty hard. But I didn't have any injury. And that was lasting. Just a little bruising of my... of my pride, I guess. But I let go and it stopped. How many of you have tried to control a situation and you try to do the opposite of God's say-so? You tried to control it, you held on, and you got drugged through the parking lot or through the gravel spiritually, or you got drugged someplace you shouldn't have been, you know, been dragging around. How many of you tried to hold on and you knew to let go? That's what this is all about. There are times when you hold them and there's times when you, you know, fold them. You got to let it go. So I experienced that, and that was the whole stimulus for sharing with you today about letting go and letting God. That really is the crux. That is the essence of walking with the Lord, is basing your life on God's say-so. And how many of you know that has everything to do with hearing God's voice? I'm grateful I didn't get hurt any worse than what I did. I just stood up. Every single time something like that happens, God, I thank you over and over and over and over again. And I think the Lord is looking for that. I think he's looking for us to say to him, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for you watering the flowers, not that I didn't have to water the flowers. That's a nugget. That's a nugget. That's understanding of a relationship with our Lord. And it's good and it pleases the Lord. So not that I didn't have to water the flowers. Thank you, God, for watering the flowers. Because every time that plants are watered in my world, I'm grateful because I don't have to go out and do that. And Shirley been faithfully coming down without me and two guys on the payroll coming down watering these plants. And so she's been very faithful to help me out and help this body out in addition to all the thousands of other things she does. Thank you once again. So I'm not going to read the rest of this. This is so powerful, what he says. I just read enough just to introduce to you a walk based upon God's say-so is going to be a successful walk. You just have to know what God is saying. And how many of you have a stirring in your heart and there's an eagerness and there's an excitement and there's a hopefulness about getting into more of what God has to say to me? God's going to visit you down there in the valley. He's going to descend to visit you down there in the valley. And there's nothing but appreciation in my heart toward you that are seeking to come closer to the Lord. June, I know that it was not comfortable for you physically to be down here all day long.
even though Shirley encouraged you, stand up, you can whatever, move around. And, you know, it wasn't something that was purposely tried to make it difficult for you, but here you're making the effort, and God's going to meet you there to make sure you hear His voice. And when you know that, when you have that confidence downloaded in your heart, you're going to go out knowing what you stand for, which is really going to limit what you fall for. So the next time that you're trying to hold on to something and you're trying to control the end result and it's hurting you, it's damaging you, and you know it, it's not the end of the world, but when you know it's at that point, then what? Let go and stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's just what came to me. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. When I let go of that thing, I was forced to let go. Sometimes God will force us to let go. See, I was thrown away from the control. Don't do that. Although I felt and I got a bruise, it wasn't damaging. God threw me away, so to speak, in this situation to allow me to let go. And or to make me let go. So how many of you are grateful for situations like that when God removes you, maybe through a veil of tears, maybe through a lot of pain, but God says it's time to let go. Kind of like our kids driving out for the first time with driver's license. And wow. All these first time things. Junebug?
The worst thing was Satan tried so hard to keep me home. The night before, I took 3 laxatives because my medication messes up my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, well, I just hope this doesn't happen in church. And then we made it through lunch and everything, and all of a sudden my stomach is roaring and making these noises, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, I've got to make it to that bathroom. And it's just amazing that, you know, I made it to the bathroom, but mm-hmm. then on the way home the same thing was happening, and I said, the ladies in the lobby of my apartment, you know, have a good day. And I says, I'm sorry, but I took 3 laxatives. I got to get up. It's just that Satan tries so hard to keep us away from here.
June, what you're saying is the real world. And it's just, I think it's really awesome what you're saying, because that happens. And I thank God that you can give that testimony, knowing that everybody here loves you and appreciates what you're saying and understands what you're saying. But bottom line is, what is she saying? What is June saying?
She's going on.
She's going on, and what did God do? God made a way for you.
Right.
You see, where the adversary says you can't do this, God says, yes, you can. Right. My say-so is going to benefit you if you just follow my lead. Right. That has to do with walking with God. So what we're going to be sharing today is, what does it mean to walk with God? Turn with me, if you would, please, to Genesis 17, verse 1. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. God's going to appear and God's going to manifest to His children, and in ways that are going to be pretty revealing and pretty life imparting. And God is, like we sense, He's reviving His people, His church. I believe it all has to do before the return of Jesus Christ. God's going to awaken His people. I believe I have a lot to learn. I believe that if we just kneel before the Lord and invite Him to come in, we're going to learn all those things that He has for us that we wouldn't learn if we didn't present ourselves to Him. He's the potter, we're the clay. Get on that wheel and go for a glorious ride with the Lord, because He's not out to destroy you, He's out to help you. God did not punish me by throwing me off that piece of equipment, that mower. He actually saved me and a disastrous situation from happening, where I wouldn't have to be liable for that brand new Cadillac SUV. How many of you know you just ding a bumper and you're already into $1,200? You know how it is with that type of equipment. Oh, you have insurance. Oh, we got another price for you. So, here we go. This is so powerful. Genesis 17:1. While when Abram, who is we know is going to be Abraham, was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Wow. I think I could just put that on a loop, Carolyn. But he appeared to me, God appeared to me back in about 1972, and I heard God's voice saying to me, I want you for myself. Stop the foolishness and all the stuff in the world that's going on around you and give your life and give your heart to me and walk with me. Well, that was since 1972 that I began a walk with the Lord in sincerity. And God was at that point going to take me on an adventure that would lead to a walk of faith in Him. But it's a process over many years and periods of time for God to get me to where I am today, and I look forward to what He has for me tomorrow. And but He tells him, and He addresses him without any question who He is. No doubt whatsoever. I am God Almighty. I mean, he heard this literally. This wasn't a figment of his imagination. It wasn't something that he dreamed. God is speaking. He heard God's voice. I am God Almighty. And he says to him, walk before me and be blameless. Well, how many of you know that if you're walking before the Lord and pleasing the Lord and in God's presence, if you really walk that way, you will not be what? Walking in the way of death or the way of sin or the way of doubt or the way of fear or the way of unbelief or the way of chaos. If you're walking before the Lord, if you're walking in God's presence, you're going to walk in a blameless state. How many of you do that perfectly every day? I don't know of anybody that does. That's why in my heart there's a tendency toward mercy toward anybody that hadn't got their act together yet, but you're working on it. You're really working on it. You really do care, and you really want to do it God's way. But you're not blameless as far as walking in perfection. There's only one that I know has ever done that, and that is Jesus, who walked in perfection in obedience to his Father. Now, what this really means here, and if you'll go to your third paragraph in your take it home, to walk with God means to commit oneself to obedience to his voice as a lifestyle and pattern of conduct. It means to follow God's flow and leading of his Holy Spirit with every heartbeat and breath we take. Jesus, our highest and most perfect example of walking in obedience to his Heavenly Father, while on the earth said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing. That should be capital S-O-N. The Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner, in obedience to his Father. So Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing. How many of you have a desire to do what you see your Father doing through the enablement of the Holy Spirit, all because of Jesus giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit as his children? How many of you see great advantages to doing what you see your Father do? And how many of us know that that is exactly what he's after? Ted, I want you to do what you see me do. Wouldn't it be something if you walked every day and just literally saw, where do I go, Lord? What door do I go through? And you got two doors. Which way do I go? And you see the Father go through that door. Hey, man, here's confidence. You'll fly through that door. See, if you know that that's the door, if you're following him, you're playing follow the leader, he goes through that door. Or if he goes through this, you're going to do it with confidence. Which way do I go? Or if he says and just stops in your presence and tells you, stand and see the salvation of the Lord, wait for me to move. How many of you are willing to wait upon the Lord till he moves through either door or whatever he's going to do? And sometimes we get impatient. Don't you know what you're doing, Lord? I expect you to go through either door. He says, I know, that's your expectation for me. I didn't tell you to expect I was going through either door. Your expectation is to be totally to follow me and to watch me, what I do. I do what I see my Father do. He might sit down, pull up a chair and say, hey, sit down for a while. We need to talk. Oh, I thought we were going to go through one of these doors. No, not right now. Maybe later, but right now we need to sit down and talk. You see? And we're not expecting that. And that's what gets us in trouble, expectations. We have expectations of what something, how something should turn out or how somebody should behave or how, what they should do and all these, and it gets us in trouble, expectations. Shirley and I has talked about that before. She's has expectations of me. I've had expectations of her, and it gets you in trouble in a man and woman relationship, in a man and wife relationship. So I believe the Lord is saying that to Abraham, and I believe he's saying it to us. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Follow my flow. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is a flow? There is a flow with the Holy Spirit. It's a river of life. There's a river of life flowing out through me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. The Spirit of God is a flow. So he opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out through me. And so I want to be in tune with that. And the Amplified Bible says about 17:1, it says this. The Amplified Bible says, I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and be perfect, blameless, wholehearted, complete. Live habitually before me. Habits are good if they're good habits. I habitually brush my teeth. I habitually take a bath, shower, and all those things. I do a lot of things habitually. I work, seems like, during the week habitually. I do all these things. Those are all good things that we need to habitually do and be habitually, you know, in a timely fashion, doing whatever we need to do. So habits are good, but habits can also be what? Detrimental and very bad. I have a tendency to holding on to things and controlling things and not letting go and let God. And that's why I'm all scarred up. That's why I'm all, you know, scabbed up. That's what all the scabs are about. I hold on to things. And God is telling me and teaching me not to hold on, but to let Him take control and provide the safety mechanism that we all need. The question is, are we learning to do that? Is there a stirring in your heart to watch God, stand and see His salvation? I did. On Tuesday, I stood there and I stood and saw the salvation of God. I mean, it happens. Accidents happen so quick you don't know what happened. You cannot believe what? Yes, sir, I pulled out at the stop sign and I didn't see that person coming and I hit them or they hit me and it happened so quickly. It's just like, wow, what happened? And I'm standing there like, wow, what happened? And I stood and I saw the salvation of God. The SUV Cadillac, it was just all complete and nice where it was. The mower stopped, everything stopped, and I'm standing, I'm going like this. I said, God, I could just weep and cry before you right now because you are so good to me. I was just so grateful because that's where I was, y'all. That's where I was living. I was wanting to do what God said to do. Let go and trust me. You see, you have to trust something that it's going to work. And God is something that is working for us, not something, but somebody. The Almighty God is there interceding on our behalf in all situations and circumstances. I let go. I saw it. I saw God. I didn't see Mark Parsons and his little intuitive ability to look what I did. I didn't hit the SUV. Look how smart I am. I let go. Boy, I'm smart. But I realize how dumb I am without the Lord, without the Almighty God being with me in a walk with Him in the moment. And it's split seconds, y'all. It's split seconds. My mind wanted to hold on, but in a split second I had to let go because two more seconds it would have been into that grill. Quickly, trust your instruments. Pilots, trust your instruments. You're going down, you're vertigo, you're upside down, but you think you're right side up, and many pilots have lost their life that way. Linda?
the SUV owner is now in church today giving the testimony of looking out the window and saw this guy heading straight for his car. And how he prayed, but how he said, God, please help me. And how the man was thrown off the machine that had stopped.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. And perhaps maybe the angels of God in heaven are rejoicing because Mark is learning to let go and let God. And choosing to do it God's way. So it does away when we learn to do things God, it does away with apprehension, it does away with embarrassment, it does away with the macho-ness of a man, it does away with all those things. It just, you just melt before him to be the man he called you to be, to get on that wheel and let him turn you. You know, I'll change when she changes. I'll change when he changes. I'll change when she changes. I'll change when you change. I'll change when you change. It's just, what about now? Our say-so, God's say-so needs to be our say-so right now. He who knows to do and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. Are you climbing this ladder of rebellion and sin against one another when I say, he who knows to do and doesn't do it, to him it's sin? Then stop. Stop on the first rung. Don't climb it. Don't do it. Somebody else might want to keep on going. Let them go. But you got to stop. He who knows to do and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. See, it all goes back to you. Holding on to that situation. See how it relates? Holding on. I got a grip on this. When you change, I'll change. 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 It's crazy. But if you let go of that and let God, then there will be reconciliation. There'll be reconciliation. There'll be a life imparted. How many of you have a desire to really walk every day with Jesus without the, some days yes, some days no, you know, just kind of in and out? How many of you would like to walk that way daily? And the second part of that is that possible? Or is it just a big tease? A big tease. No, it is possible. God addresses him as God Almighty, and he says, walk before me. And if you walk before the Lord, what's going to be the end result on that first verse? What's the last word, word in your Bible on verse 1? Walk before me and be what? Huh?
Blameless.
Blameless. What's your Bible say? Anybody else? Walk before me and be blameless? So when we're walking before the Lord, this means more than what? Just some kind of a little, you know, walk down the street. We're talking about totally dedicated and committed to the one who has given you life. He's given his life for us. We give our life for him. So if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. So it will result in blamelessness. A forgiveness, a heart that is hopeful, a heart that is going somewhere, a heart that is healed, no longer has to continue this going back and forth type of stuff, but today it stops. The buck stops here. Today I understand something, today it stops. God says so needs to be your say so. Now, if you would turn with me to Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy chapter 30, and go down to verse 11. Some people equate what God has to say as too difficult. Too difficult because they have other things that are a priority in their life. It's too difficult to do this. I have other priorities. I hear what you're saying, but you know, it's good for you, whatever works for you, but it's too difficult for me. I'm not interested in walking with this God that you serve. But God also says that this is doable, Debbie. This is all doable. He makes a way for us. And here's in Deuteronomy, Moses is 120 years old. He's going over some things with them as they get ready to go in the promised land. But he wants to tell them something before God takes him home. In verse 11, Deuteronomy 30. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. Isn't that good news? It's not out of reach. This is all doable. It is not in heaven, like God's got it locked up in some safe up there, a secret for him for you not to know. God wants to reveal to you his say-so, so that you can walk in his say-so. God does not have it locked up in some, you know, 8-inch thick steel and concrete vault someplace. It's not locked up in heaven. It's not locked up out of reach in heaven, that you should say in verse 12, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? I'm in Tampa and it's in China. I have no means to cross the sea to get what God has for me in China. It's not in heaven that you should say who's going to go up there and get it. It's not overseas in China to say who's going to get it for me there. I mean, God really wants to make himself available to us to say, I am God Almighty, Mark. I am here for you, with you, to be with you, so you can walk hand in hand with me daily, whatever rises up in your life, whatever comes up in your life. In that moment, I want you to walk with me. Wouldn't it be sad if I go to do what I got to do, go out and work during the day and come back in the evening and say, oh, by the way, God, thank you. Good night. Thank you for today and whatever goes on in my life, and good night and good morning, Lord. But how about walking with him while you are actually doing whatever it is that you're doing, dry and arid? Oh, but God, this is your creation. There's something out here that my spirit is seeing that my flesh can't see. You know, so there is beauty. And for the eye to behold if we look. And so look at this, verse 14. But the word, his word, is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may what? Observe it, obey it, do it. Walk with me. You can do this. You can do this. I know adversity is there. I hear what they're saying. I know it's upsetting. How many of you are upset with Sandusky? 15 years, 10 abused children, and he was convicted of 45 out of 48 counts, and he will be going to prison. How many of you are happy about that, or have something in your heart that you just, yeah? I thank God for the victims coming forth and things like this, but I'm not so happy that he needs to be executed. Or I pray that he'll change, you know? I pray that we'll see a change here in a life. He may have to do it behind bars the rest of his life, but it would be easy to respond with hatred in a situation like that. Every time I see that man, I hate him. And that's not good. It's not a good way to be. So God sets before us a way for us to live, not to be dictated by what's going on in the world, because there's a lot out there in the world to cause us to hate if we look to it and pay attention to it. But I'm not going to hate that man. I'm going to look to the Lord. You know, may God have mercy on his soul. He will be punished. He'll go through all those things. But I'm not going to let the world dictate to me how I should walk my life, or how I should think, or how my heart should be. I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. In that, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to what? What does your Bible say?
To walk in his ways
and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. The land that I'm entering, the land that I'm living in, is where I am any given day. Wherever you go, there you are. But God wants me to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. God wants me to follow his flow daily. That's what walking with the Lord means. This is what God means for us to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is the way to life. Obedience is the way to pleasing God. Obedience is the way to walk with God in obedience of holiness. The obedience is the way to walk with God. But if your heart, verse 17, turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you what? Life and
death.
Blessing and
curses.
So what? Choose our choice, life. In order that you may live, you and your descendants. By doing what? Loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. There's Abraham again popping up here. God told him to walk before him. God is telling these people to walk before him. Jesus says what? Come, follow me. You see, follow my flow. And so let's look at a couple things here that Jesus said about that. If you would turn with me to Matthew 4:18-20. Matthew 4:18. Matthew 4:18. Jesus here is walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. That's what they did. They were Jews. They understood the Jewish law. They were into the Jewish temple and understood, you know, the Septuagint and the laws of God and the ways of God and the history of God. They were Jews. It was just seemed like God had something for them. God had something for them. They were fishing. And here comes Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Andrew and Peter, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left the nets and followed him. Well, he saw some other Jews who were out in the fishing business as well. In verse 21, two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. In other words, Jesus was saying, this is the beginning of a walk where you're going to learn to follow my flow. He discipled them. He took them from point A to point B. He took them on a journey they had no clue they were getting ready to go on. They were just out like they had always faithfully done, providing for the family, providing for, you know, a living for themselves, working on nets, casting nets, fishing for fish. But on this particular day, Jesus comes and says, follow me. This is incredible to think about. This was their livelihood. This is what they were doing. Just like they did all the other days of their life. And I don't suppose they were, you know, older men. They were fairly young men at that time. The scriptures tell us that there was youth here. But they were out fishing, doing things that their father had done and the fathers before them had done. And Jesus says, come, follow me. But do you think they knew the fullness of what they were getting into? There was a day in my life when I was really tired of being me and doing my thing. And I said, Jesus, you know, I hear what the Catholics are saying. I understand. I hear what the Methodists are saying. I hear what the Baptists are saying. And everybody's got their own little quirky way. But God, I cried out with all my heart. I said, God, what are you saying? I want to know what you're saying. I want to hear your voice. This is way back when God was drawing me. God called me to follow his flow. I did not know the fullness of that when I came to him. Of course you can't. Addie's born into this world. You know, her precious mother, Adeline, and father, Joseph, they're born into this world. She doesn't know the journey that she's on, but she's learning. It's amazing what she's saying and what she's learning at her age. To me, it is, because I know I didn't do that at 3-year-old. No way. She's putting some things together. She's on a journey. She's being taught to follow the flow of God. When we pray for our meals and we pray for things and we pray for situations, she'll fold her little hands and we say, "Thank you, Jesus." And she puts her little hands up as a 3-year-old and said, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, she doesn't know the fullness of it, but she's beginning to put pieces together like God is putting for us. Come follow me, June. Come follow me, Nicole. Come follow me, Brian. Come follow me. And you say, "Where are we going to go?" He says, "That's not important right now. Just follow me." I don't know the end of my life on this earth. I don't know that. God does, but I don't. But for right now, I want to follow him until that day comes. Or there might be a rapture involved when I just, boom, translated to be with him just like that. I don't know. But I believe we are close to a lot of things happening on this earth. I mean, according to Revelation, I believe that with all my heart. I believe God is preparing his church today to get ready for what God has for us. And what God has for me today is a relationship with my wife, for her to have a relationship with me, for me to have a relationship with you, for me to have a relationship with my granddaughter, my children, my adult children. For me to be in obedience to the Lord is what he has for me today, to follow his flow, to hear his voice, and to discern the difference between good and evil, to know what I stand for, to limit what I fall for. I think it's very appropriate timing for God to be having us involved in a study to hear God's voice and some things that will help us to hear and to learn to hear God's voice. I believe it's very timely for God to be doing that. You say, "Well, what's the use if there's just a few ears coming to hear? What's the use for Shirley to come down here all day Saturday for 3 other people other than her to do what she says?" "Shirley," I said, you amaze me because I know what's on your plate. And then she comes home and does what she would have done during the day, that she took time out to reach out and to give this time and to lay that life down, to lay it on the altar to do this on a Saturday. I said, "Man, you amaze me. You really do." And so we're all going to reap what we sow. You know, she's doing what she feels she needs to do. Brian, we need to do what God is showing us to do. What God says, we need to follow. Where he leads, I will follow. That's easy to say, easy to sing, but another thing to do. So how many of you know that when Jesus said, "Come follow me," to them, he has also said it already to you and me? He wants Mary to follow her in the classroom. And Mary, I believe with all my heart, you are really striving to do that. I believe God has given you a sound spiritual mind to look at all those little creatures out in front of you. All those little first graders, right? All of those little precious souls, and you get involved with them. But I believe God is training you to look at them through his eyes. Follow my flow, Mary. As a teacher in this classroom, God knows we need godly teachers. Follow my flow. And so it's good. It's good to be following Jesus, because there's a lot of people following what? False, empty, 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 worthless gods. And I can say that with all confidence. Worthless, agnostics and atheists following emptiness. And what does emptiness produce? What does worthlessness produce? The fruit of that is what? Worthlessness and emptiness. Nothing. Nothing comes out of it. Except what? A destiny of hell. You know, that's the end result. And so I am so grateful today that I am standing up here speaking on behalf of a God who loves me, who told me that he is Almighty God. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, God in the flesh, God incarnate in the flesh for me. If the whole world said no, he did it for me. I am so grateful. And so you better believe that when I am out working and things happen to me, such as what happened to me the other day, I'm going to recognize God Almighty through Jesus Christ. I'm going to thank Him for working things out for my good, working all things together for my good, right where I am. I'm going to follow Him, and I'm going to pursue this, to follow Him, to hear His voice, and when He says, let go, I'm going to let go, and see the salvation of the Lord. So what did I do? In wanting to follow God's flow, I stood up, I was okay, the equipment was okay, the Cadillac was okay, I didn't have anybody injured with the blades turning until they shut off. I started it back up, and I, just like the Ethiopian and the eunuch, I started up and went on my way. You know, it's just, and I went on my way rejoicing. Praise the Lord. It was a happening. It was real. It was powerful. And so it is today. I hear Jesus calling each and every one of us to follow Him, to follow His flow, to be tuned to His flow. And what we're hearing, the four main things we're hearing with Werkler's teaching, and by the way, it's not Werkler's teaching, it lines up with the Word of God, and that is to what? Number one, if we want to hear God's voice, if we want to follow His flow, number one is what? What do we got to do? We've got to look to Jesus in each and every circumstance. If I'm having a conversation with Shirley and she doesn't understand what I'm saying, and I don't understand what she's saying, I need to look to Jesus. I need to look to Jesus. And I need, number two, I need to do what? I need to quiet myself down. Number three, I got to tune in to what He's saying. Tune to that flow. Following the flow. I got to tune in. You know, all the radio stations, FM, AM, they're broadcasting constantly. But you're not going to pick up on what that radio station is saying unless you what? Get to the right station and tune it in. Then you're going to have what? The receiver is going to hear what message is being broadcast. How many of you spent enough years of your life living your life, the message was being broadcast, but your receiver didn't have it tuned in? It wasn't turned on, that alone tuned in. How many of you lived that way a lot of your life? I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to live that way in circumstances in my life. Today, right now, I want to tune in to His flow and not just journal, but to live or move or exist or have my being in Christ Jesus in that moment. You see, so journal it, live it, walk it, experience it, encounter it, and you are going to be what? Drawn much, much closer to the Lordship of Jesus Christ than you were the day before or the moment before. Praise the Lord. Much, much more to share with you concerning this flow of God, but we don't have time today. We're going to share what we shared today. I hope that you digest it. I hope that you be able to think about it and let it go in, let it sink into your heart. And at the right time, may what God is saying come out for a life to live this in your daily walk with Him. Because if you don't go out and live it, it's no good. It has no application. It means nothing. And so I thank God for the message that He's delivering to us. And I think it's a message of urgency. I believe God is saying, I am God Almighty. It is my voice. It is my Son that was sacrificed for you. There is a heaven. There is a hell. I have a purpose for you. I have a mission for you. And He's just saying, go out and do it. Do not be what? Forgetful hearers, but effectual doers. We're all unique. We're all different. I appreciate each and every one of you. God Almighty does. Jesus Christ does. He gave His life for you. And the Holy Spirit resides within His church, within His people, to be the great paraclete, the teacher called along beside us to teach us His ways, to be able to go, to follow the flow of God in our daily life. I mean, what person would not want that in their life? I do. And so may God bless you as you are able to hear what's being said here today, to go out and apply this and whatever you're doing. And once again, just a couple things to review. Don't hold on to something that God wants you to let go of. Let go and allow God to show you His salvation. When things are out of control, when things are spiraling down, let go and let God save you and show you what it was that you had to learn in that circumstance or situation that you were wanting to hold on to, but God wants you to let go. So God will never deceive us. He'll never give us a rock for a fish. He is the way, the truth, and the life for us to follow and pattern our lives after. Walking with God. What does walking with God mean? It means to follow His flow at all times. No exceptions. Sometimes we want to take time out and do our thing. You know, sometimes we might want to take time out to do our thing. But I think you'd be disappointed in me if you and I and a group of you were in my van, or if I had a van, or in your van, we're going to a prayer meeting, and all I could do all the way to that prayer meeting was talk about how rotten these people are and how rotten this traffic is and how rotten this and how rotten that and all the weather and everything. And all of a sudden we get there, and I'm the leader, I'm the pastor, and you're with me, and we're going to this prayer meeting, and we finally arrive, and I said, okay, gang, let's go pray. And you all sitting there going, you would have to say, what's up with this? You know, I think we need to have a prayer meeting right now, right here, Pastor, right now, before we go in to pray. You see what I mean? So we need to follow His flow, whether we're in this world of crazy traffic or crazy shopping or wherever we are. No matter what happens, we need to be looking to the Lord that there would be a consistency and an example for others to see Jesus Christ in us. We're to have the blood of Jesus in us. We're to bleed Jesus at all times. So may God help us to do that. Praise the Lord. And when we fail, is there hope? And we fail to do that, is there hope?
Yes.
Lord, forgive me. I will. I do. Get up. Let's get going. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Has this been meaningful to you today? I hope it is. I hope it's applicable to you. And we go out and we digest it and we live it and we experience it and we grow closer to Jesus Christ. I pray that's the case, because I've sensed there's a stirring and we are growing closer to the Lord. Next week, I hope and pray for good reports to come from our testimonies. Next week will be Blue Shirt Sunday already. 30 days in June. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest, 31, except February 28th. Except got a leap year, got a problem, got 29 days. For anyone listening to our message today, and you really do want to follow the flow of God, then it's going to take obedience. You're going to have to humble yourself before the living God, because He is the only way, truth, and life. And ask Him into your heart. Ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to save you and to get on track. He has a journey for you, a journey of holiness, a journey that will lead you to eternal life. For those that may be hearing this message that do know the Lord, may it be edifying and encouraging to you. God bless and keep you. Amen.